Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Learn English with Teachify. I'm Lewis, and I'm with
Mickey, I'm going first. Well, I have to go first. You're with Mickey as well. Hello, everyone. And
and Will.
right,
And my weird thumbs.
we can see the enthusiasm once again. Now, first of all, Mickey, how's your week been? How are you?
Yeah, it's been pretty good. What day is it today? It's Wednesday today, no? Oh, sorry, it's Wednesday today, isn't it? Same mistake as last week. Terrible. Yeah, it's been a good week. Working quite a lot. Been to the beach. I had a massage yesterday, which was quite nice in the evening. An hour Balinese massage. And I've been training quite a lot, which is why I'm actually wearing semi-gym stuff, because I'm going to go to the gym quickly and squeeze a gym session in before coming back to work. But yeah, it's been a good week. How about yourself?
Well, in my case, it's been a little bit chaotic because on Sunday I moved house. So it was a little bit random because we have a couple of friends here in Brussels. They were moving out of their flat, but they were staying in the same building. So they were just upgrading to like the ground floor where they have a garden. It's a little bit more spacious. And they asked us, like, hey, guys, would you like to move into our flat? They knew that ours was a little bit small. We had complained about it multiple times. So after deliberating and thinking about it, we said, yeah, let's go for it. So
So
last
you got
weekend,
someone else's sloppy seconds, is how you're saying?
basically.
I like how you said you upgraded to downstairs as well.
Well,
Oh
they upgraded because they were
yeah,
on the
sorry,
top
they.
floor and then went downstairs. In our
Okay.
case, we were on the fourth floor of a different building, and now we are still on the fourth floor. But of course, this is a slightly bigger apartment. I like it more. It has some nice natural light. But yeah, last weekend was spent moving house, and this week has been a little bit stressful, also buying some new things, going to the supermarket as well. So I have had a lot on my plate, not gonna lie. It's been
Can I
busy.
did you IKEA? Did you go to IKEA?
I didn't actually.
No?
No, we didn't. Because there actually aren't many IKEAs in the center of Brussels. And then I'd
Okay.
need to drive. I don't have a car. So I've been getting things off Facebook Marketplace, some
Ooh.
different bargains, secondhand things, because it's good for the environment. And I am stingy.
That is true. You are from the north of England, people. So anybody listening, people from the north of England, they do not like to spend money. So that's just how it is. And that's fine, each to their own.
Exactly. And related to that, I said that I'm stingy. That's someone who doesn't like to spend money. We could also say tight-fisted. So I'm stingy. I'm tight-fisted. I'm cheap, essentially.
Yeah.
So that's me, in a nutshell, in a few words. But enough about me. Will, how's your week been?
You know what? I was thinking when you were speaking about your weekend, I was thinking, what did I do at the weekend? And then I realized the reason I couldn't think of anything was because I did nothing.
Wow.
Yeah, I think I was just reading on the sofa and watched a bit of the telly and went to the supermarket, gym. Just, routine stuff.
Okay.
I'm trying to
Sounds
think.
exciting.
Ah, I went to a Mexican restaurant. Oh yeah, that was good. A Mexican restaurant in Madrid Center. I can't remember the name. I would say it, but I can't remember. Yeah, it was good. Yeah. So I had a Mexican weekend, I guess.
Nice, very nice.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate
And
that.
just out of interest, out of curiosity, what are you reading? You said you were reading on Saturday.
Yes, I can tell you it will be extremely boring. It was a day trading book, a book on day trading strategies. So it wasn't very interesting. And I don't have another book that I'm reading at the moment. Oh, and chess openings. So I have two books that I'm reading. Both are related to strategy, one in trading and one in chess. I'm a really cool guy. Okay.
Yeah. Sounds you sound like you, it'd be so nice to sit down and have a beer with you and just talk about your books.
Do you know this new chess move? It's really good.
This opening is called, I don't even know any chess opening names.
Checkmate.
I mean, that's fine. Some people like chess, some people don't. That's fine. Some people think it's cool, some people don't.
Yeah. In Will's defense, I have played chess with Will on chess.com virtually quite a few times, and I have never won, but I am a complete novice. But Will is very good, so good that actually I was playing another friend who I was always close to beating but never managed to actually win. And I would send Will screenshots of the position of the board and where we're at, and Will would basically tell me the next 4 or 5 moves and even predict what my friend's moves were going to be. And so I could beat him. So he's pretty good. I'm going to give him that.
This is when reading becomes fun.
you could be the King's Gambit. Who knows? Ooh, related to that, if you've heard of the series, The Queen's Gambit, it's really, really good. It's on Netflix. I'd recommend watching it, of course, in English, with subtitles in English. And it's about a young girl. She was an orphan, I believe. She lived in an orphanage. And during this time, she had a kind of maestro, a coach, who was teaching her the basics of chess. And she got better and better and kept practicing and then became one of the best chess players in the United States. So that's a summary. I'm not going to spoil it for you, but here's our recommendation of the day, The Queen's Gambit.
Very nice. I like it. Yeah, it's a good series. It's good English as well. It's quite nice to listen. Good one to practice, I think. So very good. And, what are we doing today anyway? Come on. I've got things to do.
Okay, let's get to the point. Let's cut to the chase. Let's focus on today's topic. And Mickey, we're going to start with you. Because we're going to speak all about learning languages, and in particular, learning Spanish and how each of us have learned Spanish. And we will give some tips and tricks and pieces of advice for you to add it to your language learning routine. So, Mickey, let's start with you. What's your story of learning Spanish? Because you're from a bilingual family. How did you do it?
Yeah, to be honest with you, it was a pain in the ass. Not going to lie. It was a pain in the ass. And I have to admit, for everyone who's listening or watching, my Spanish right now is very, very rusty. Uh-oh. Because I haven't spoken Spanish since January this year. It's been very limited contact with actual spoken Spanish. And it's only ever been written, which is usually translated with Deep L. Shout out to Deep L.
Good practice.
Or ChatGPT, one of those two. my background. So some of you know, some of you don't. My dad is actually Spanish. He's from a place called Albacete, which is actually Woo-hoo. Where I was born. Woo! So I was born there, but I only spent the first 2 years of my life there, which obviously I don't remember. And my family moved back to England because my mum is English. And I grew up in England, so English is my first language, although I do have a Spanish passport. And in the house, the common language was English, mostly. My dad would try to speak Spanish to me, my brother and sister, but especially when he needed to tell us off, we didn't understand, and it was just easier for him to translate his messages into English, because my dad also speaks English. Uh-huh. I wouldn't say amazingly, but pretty good, even though he's lived there for 50 years. I mean, Will and Lewis, you both know as well, he's got still a bit of an accent after 50 years.
He's a character, that's for sure. Yeah. He's a unique person. And just before you continue with that, you said that your dad would tell you off. What does it mean tell someone off?
Yeah, to tell someone off. So I used to be, I'm going to use the expression again because it's a good one to learn. I used to be a pain in the ass. So this is a good one to learn. This is when something's a bit of a problem.
Sorry, I just want to stop you there. Yeah, it was just because you used the phrase "I used to," which implies in the past and no, and now no. Just to clarify, this is not the case. You are still a complete pain in the ass. But please,
I still like you. I feel like you have an example that you would like to share with Lewis and myself of when I've been a pain in the ass. Yeah, so I used to be a pain in the ass. I was a bit of a problematic child, and I had a problem with listening and behavior. So my dad would tell us off, which is to basically tell us what we're doing wrong. Maybe there'd be a small punishment involved, which would usually be maybe a little smack. Could be locked in my room. Could be locked in a garret. No, I'm joking. No, no. I had a
Allegedly,
great
allegedly.
upbringing.
There is no
This is
proof
being
for any of
recorded.
this.
Yeah, so we spoke English at home, and also I had English friends. I went to an English school. And the only exposure I got to speaking Spanish was with my grandparents every year. Me and my brother and sister, we would go to Spain for 6 weeks. And that time would be spent either between Albacete and Valencia, because that's where my family are. So we had no option but to speak Spanish with my grandparents because they didn't speak English. So even though it was very broken, we were still able to communicate as kids and get the message across. And we had like friends in the village that we used to play with, and we was ya vienen los ingleses, you know, like the English people are coming. So we had like a little group of friends there. So I used to like that. And then as I got older, I realized it was a massively missed opportunity to not have learned Spanish properly, having Spanish background, Spanish dad, Spanish family, which is why I decided to go to Spain with the principal objective of learning Spanish. And that's pretty much it. Yeah.
Perfect. And then once you were in Spain, this time as an adult, did you study Spanish? Did you use any books or series, or were you just learning outside, living and speaking to people?
Yeah, I learned mostly. So I was quite fortunate because I was actually living in Cadiz at the time. I was working in a bar. If anybody knows Woodstock, it's a good bar, and the Casco Antiguo, it's a good one to go to get a pint. And I was actually working in this bar, and I was very fortunate to meet a group of Spanish people who worked there and lived there that had zero interest in learning English. So I really chucked myself in the deep end. And I remember, it's funny because I actually remember like sitting outside the bar, like after we'd shut up, like on a step, you know, just talking. And I remember just being frustrated because I couldn't understand everything that was going on. And like, I would, you know, trying to communicate, I had a very basic level. And then, you know, going home in the evenings was really frustrating because I would replay all of the conversations that I'd had that day and all of the mistakes that I'd made, which I only realized afterwards. So it
La
was quite
problema, la
intense,
problema,
actually.
la problema.
Yeah, this one, yeah. It's quite intense. Like, and I feel I lacked a lot of sleep for the first few months because I was getting frustrated with myself for not being able to communicate what I wanted. But it was it's for me, for my learning style, which is very hands-on, like I like to be involved, not so much academically, was definitely the best way for me to learn a language for sure. But obviously everybody's different, everyone has different ways of learning.
How long did it take you? So what level did you have when you got to Spain, and how long did it take you to advance to a point where you felt comfortable in Spanish? 'Cause
Yeah, I feel like so when I went to Spain, I probably, if I were to compare it in English level terms, I would say it was like a B1 level. Like the equivalent of a
okay.
B1 in English was like a B1 in Spanish. Maybe I knew some like really colloquial or local expressions, but that's because, you know, I'd been exposed to Spanish as a kid with Spanish people. And then to go from there to, I'm like a C4 now.
No.
Joking, there is no C4, but if it did exist, that would be me. To go from there to my level now, which is, you know, I wouldn't say I'm bilingual, but you know, I probably wouldn't pass the C1 exam in Spanish. Actually, I know I wouldn't, but I would say C1, C2 level Spanish took me quite a few years. You know, like I feel like you have like a, and I feel like with languages, you never stop learning, and if you stop using them, you do forget things, you get rusty. So even now, like even if I was still living in Spain. And I was speaking Spanish every day, I still would feel that I have room to improve, which is something that's quite nice about languages. You're always learning.
I think that's an important thing as well, is even when you are living in the country, you are thrown in the deep end. You're living in Spanish, etc., with Spanish friends, and you already have a base. It still takes a long time to get, you know, so people shouldn't expect miracles in a few weeks. So anyone kind of selling in a few weeks type of thing, you know, this is it's not easy, eh?
No, well, you get that learning curve as well. I don't know if this has happened to you too, but you improve really quickly, and then all of a sudden it just plateaus, and you feel like you're not going anywhere for a long period of time. And I think in that particular situation, the key is just consistency and picking up a good routine, which you guys obviously have also done, and you're like the king of routines with languages as well. So, which we'll talk about that in a moment. But yeah, that's my experience with learning Spanish.
Good. Impressive. What about you, Lewis?
let me just clear my throat first.
Oh, it's going to be a long one.
The expert. Hold on, I'm gonna get a book.
No. I'll keep it short and sweet. Don't worry. I actually had a bit of a cold, so that's why I was clearing my throat, not because I was about to give you a big sermon. But I basically, when I was 16, I started maybe a little bit younger, but at school, usually with foreign languages, we study French and Spanish, but it's in a class of like 30 people, and nobody's interested, nobody cares. If there are a few people who are actually interested, it's kind of a bit weird, because everybody assumes that just speaking English, it's enough, and you don't need to learn any other language, which is a very lazy way of thinking and looking at the world, in my opinion. And I always used the Spanish classes to kind of joke around and have fun. So I'd put on some different accents of, like, I don't know, a Mexican that I had seen in some American series. I'd
Can
be
we
like,
hear this?
hey,
Yeah.
So I use this hour per week as a way of having fun, having a laugh, and just joking around. And then I think the fact that I maybe associated Spanish classes with having a good time, I started to become interested in the language. And I have always loved watching documentaries about travel and thinking about visiting different countries to eat the food as well, in particular. I think that's why I started thinking, like, actually, learning a foreign language is pretty cool. I can be like a different person in a different language, and it opens up many doors and opportunities. So
So are you nice in Spanish?
I don't know what I'm like, actually. But in Spanish, I'd say that I'm maybe a little bit less talkative, and I use a lot of one-liners. So quick comments. But I think if you're not using your mother tongue, you're always going to be a little bit more nervous and a little bit less talkative because it's harder for you to get your point across. But that said, when I was 18, I had to choose what I wanted to do at university. I had two options. It was physiotherapy or studying languages, because I love sport, I love the human body. So that was always an option. But then I thought, if I do that, then I have to be a physiotherapist. And my dream of thinking that I would be the physiotherapist of a football team probably wasn't going to happen. And it'd be more like being a physiotherapist in a hospital with old people. And it wouldn't be quite as glamorous as what I was imagining. So I thought, no, I'm going to go to uni, study languages, which included a year abroad, where I absolutely had to spend a year abroad in a Spanish-speaking country. And I also studied Italian at the same time, but from scratch, from zero. So in my third year of university, at that point, I didn't really know a lot of Spanish or Italian because I was at uni, I was going out, I wasn't studying. I knew the basics of maybe like Mickey when he moved to Spain, maybe just about a B1. But lacking confidence, lacking fluency, and lacking a good pronunciation. So I went to Argentina and I started speaking like an Argentine, like, che, boludo, pelotudo, pero vos, etc., etc. Because I was living with an Argentinian family whilst I was teaching as like a language assistant in a school at the same time. So that was the first time that I was actually immersed in the language. People were speaking to me in Spanish all of the time. So it was a challenge to overcome and actually come out of my shell because I was a bit shy, nervous. I didn't know how to carry a proper conversation in Spanish. But little by little, By making mistakes, going through awkward moments, I started to get better, more confident. And as my time in Argentina was coming to an end, I went to Palermo, Sicily. And the idea with that was to learn Italian. But it turned out that I lived with a group of 8 Spaniards. So I didn't actually learn hardly any Italian, and I was immersed in Spanish all the time, going out with them to the beach to play football on a nights out. And the majority were from Andalusia. So my accent changed from being a little bit Argentinian to a little bit Andaluz. And then after that experience, I met my current girlfriend, Estella, and the rest is history, because that really helped to practice messaging on WhatsApp all the time, which I think is an underrated skill and an underrated way of practicing, actually writing down messages, emails, etc., because it allows you to associate what you might have heard on a series or a podcast and think like, oh, I've seen it, I know it, but how do I say it? And then actually writing it down helps you to memorize it, at least if you are a visual learner. And then, of course, I had to meet their her family, friends.
Oh, no.
And if you can overcome this challenge of actually being able to introduce yourself and mingle, to socialize within a context of family members or close friends where they're all Andaluces, and you survive, you come out the other end, then I think that is a way of kind of telling yourself, proving to yourself that, okay, I'm good enough. There are always things to improve with my Spanish, with any language. There's always things that I can do. I do feel rusty at some points, but I'm good enough to do practically everything I want to without feeling like I'm messing it up all the time. So
I think I've got two questions for you there, Lewis. It's quite interesting. And then we'll move on to Will and how he's still learning. He's like an A1 level Spanish. So we'll move on to that in a moment.
Perfect.
But so when you went to Argentina, you went to study Italian and Spanish. And the first question is, what's it like trying to learn two languages? Okay, I know they're a little bit similar, but like mentally, like how draining is it, or is it draining to learn two languages at the same time? And the other one is with the confidence, like what would you recommend for students learning a language to build confidence? Because I think for me, this was also one of the keys to learning Spanish, was trying to break that barrier of confidence to get more confident.
Yeah, well, first of all, with learning two languages at the same time, I think it's doable, but it can be very confusing because, of course, Italian and Spanish are very similar languages. I already had a base in Spanish, so it was always going to be easier to master my Spanish rather than Italian. And there are also a lot more things like content that I could access for Spanish than Italian. Mm. And this was 10 years ago as well. This wasn't when we had all of the resources that we have nowadays. But what I would do was try to, for example, study Spanish only one day and then Italian only the other day, or break it up throughout the day. So maybe in the morning, I will study Spanish, and in the evening, I'll study Italian. But it's true that I think if, for example, I'm speaking Italian now, I would be able to get my message across. But then if I didn't remember a word, I'd probably just say it in Spanish and make it up and improvise. And then the only way of kind of correcting that path is speaking to people and getting them to correct you. And then bit by bit, you will start realizing yourself and correcting what you're saying. And with anything, practice makes perfect. The more you speak, the better you will speak. The more you listen, the better you will understand podcasts and radio. So yeah, it's tough, but it's not impossible. And the other question, what was that?
The confidence. What tips would you have for people that are maybe lacking a little bit in confidence when speaking English in our case, which is the language we teach mostly, where we teach Spanish and French as well with some of the teachers, but mainly English?
Yeah, with confidence, I find it difficult because I am a little bit introverted at times. And I do find it hard to like approach people and force the issue and say, like, let's speak French nowadays, for example. And I think you've just got to put things into context and realize that, like, what's the worst that could happen? Do you really want to improve your language skills? Do you really want to become fluent? If the answer is yes, then you need to be ready and willing to make mistakes, to look like a fool. And sometimes by making mistakes and making a fool out of yourself, learning a language, you can actually build better connections with the people you're speaking to because it's funny. You say silly things, they laugh, you laugh. And if they are understanding, they will correct you, they won't interrupt you all the time, and they will be very supportive of you. So if you're lacking confidence learning a language, I'd just say chill out, relax, put things into context. And if you really want to improve your language learning skills and your language skills, just go for it. What's the worst that can happen? Nothing.
Very good. Very nice. I just want to add, just before we go to Will again, sorry, Will, I know you're sitting there patiently waiting, but a tip that I used to use or used to offer to students when I was teaching English, some people disagree with this, but I always found it worked for me, which was to learn like a very colloquial, local expression of the language that you're learning. So, for example, if it's English, then we'll teach in English. But I used to do this in Spanish. So I would learn like a Spanish expression, one that's quite a little bit cheeky, a little bit funny. And I would learn the context and when to use it. And I would be with Spanish friends, either in the bar or at their house or having dinner. And I would try and wait for the perfect moment to use the perfect expression or idiom. And everyone would be like, oh, wow, your Spanish is amazing. It wasn't. It was just the expression that was used perfectly was amazing. But my overall Spanish wasn't that good. But it used to fill me with confidence. And that it would encourage me to learn more expressions, do some more reading. Try and force myself to speak to more people. And this is how I used to build up my own confidence, was by doing that, by using expression. Maybe that will work for some of you. Anyway, Will, Mr. A2 man, talk to us.
I
don't know where this has come from, this A2 nonsense, but and look, but that's fine. I actually have a very different story from both of you because I had zero interest in learning any languages and had no experience with Spanish at all. And then basically when I was 24, 20, I think 23, 24, I realized I was not going to become the rock star that I thought I was going to become. And I remember that one of my bosses, when I worked in a pub, he said he has two regrets. He never learned an instrument and he never learned a language. And I thought, oh, well, I've learned an instrument, so screw, let's have some fun, let's learn a language. So it was just basically choosing where I wanted to move to, and it was either Italy, France, or Spain. I decided Spain for Spanish. And oh my God, was it difficult. Like, I don't know
But
if.
you're, I think you're quite, you, but you're like, because obviously we know each other quite well, but you are quite a strange person, I think, in your process of learning.
Quite
I think
methodical, maybe.
methodical. I can imagine you having like some very strange
Yep. An
spreadsheets
Excel
or
sheet for
Excels,
sure.
an Excel sheet,
What?
which only you understand. Like, is that what, how it happened, by the way?
You know what? It was a really weird thing because obviously I knew like 6 months before I was going to Spain. So I downloaded the app and I was learning like, hello, you are a tall man. Stuff that was absolutely useless. And the only thing I had was confident in saying was, hola, and cuántos años tienes, which is how old are you? And I remember within the first 2 minutes of being in Spain, I had used my Spanish. And I realized also I hadn't learned the numbers. So when I said, how old are you? And they told me, I didn't have any idea what they said. So basically, I just, I lived with a family and my job was to speak English with them. So I didn't really learn any Spanish. I learned a few words, guiri, for example, which is the Spanish word for a foreigner, basically. And it took me a long time. So I made friends. I decided, okay, my job is in English, so I need to live with Spanish people. And I need to have zero English friends. Make sure everyone I meet is Spanish. And I was very lucky to have Spanish friends who spoke English well enough so I could always speak English. But I always felt guilty that I was forcing them to speak English. So just gradually studying and studying and studying. And I had to study a lot. You know, I don't know whether they were Excel sheets, but I did have, for example, books
Excel,
like
Google Sheets, you know,
post-its everywhere.
Yeah, it wasn't that, but you know what it was? I had a pocket mole, like a pocket notebook, and I would draw pictures and label everything and write all of the grammar points, etc. And then everywhere I went, I would bring it. And I would start at the beginning and read it every single time. So I just read it. So I'd go over the first, you know, you read the first five pages. The next time you read the first five pages and then a few more. And just continued until the book was learnt. And then I'd start a new one and just be writing it. But it took me, I would say, two and a half.
Is taking.
I would say I'm pretty damn good now, actually. I mean, I didn't want to say it.
You're not as rusty as Mickey will be either.
No, you're definitely not.
No, this my whole life is in Spanish. This is the weird thing for me. It's actually almost uncomfortable to speak English that's not in an English class, you know, because, you know, speaking girlfriend, you see?
I have a speaking girlfriend.
My girlfriend does speak. But speaking Spanish with my girlfriend, for example, and everything I've always done, all my hobbies is always in Spanish. So everything I'm reading in Spanish. So everything I do is in Spanish. The only thing I would say is I, unlike Lewis and unlike Mickey, I completely disregard expressions. Unless it's an expression that really does come up, I don't learn it. So if someone says to me, for example, this is a good expression, and tells me, I say, thank you very much. Next, because I'm never going to use it, and everyone has their own expressions. I prefer just to listen to it and try to guess. Yeah. You know, so I personally don't use expressions, but I feel very comfortable in Spanish.
I think it's quite funny because, like with Lewis, like we'd spoken in Spanish or we'd been out for beers with Spanish people, so we had been in an environment where we heard each other speak Spanish. So for me and Lewis, it was quite easy. Even be around Spanish people and speaking Spanish to each other. But with Will, I'd never heard it. We'd never spoken Spanish to each other until we had a meeting with a client once. And I remember just sitting in this meeting on the video and like we're both speaking Spanish to each other and the client for the first time. And I remember laughing. And after the meeting, we were like, "What were you laughing at my Spanish?" And I said, "Yeah." But we were both laughing at how weird we sound in Spanish. But obviously, we couldn't say this in front of the client, so we waited till after the meeting. But yeah, it's interesting.
Also worth mentioning, and I think this is where the vergüenza comes from in Spain, at least. Vergüenza is this embarrassment to speak another language. Is me and Mickey definitely are quite competitive. So when we had the meeting, he knew that when he made a mistake, I was making a note. And then I knew when I made a mistake, he was making a note. And so instead of being embarrassed, it kind of pushed us just to be accurate in the meeting. And really, I felt, I was like, okay, all right. He made a mistake there. That's okay.
I think these are internal things of Teachify that happen behind closed doors. Because even with emails we send out and then we look back, like I might get a message from someone saying, by the way, that email, there's a grammar mistake in Spanish. And I'm just like,
God damn it.
God damn it. Lewis.
Yes?
Just before we wrap up, what are we going to do? Because I have like 5 minutes and I need to...
Okay. In that case,
what is that?
That means go, no?
Cha-cha child.
Such a typical Spanish thing of using your hands and then saying that Italians use their hands a lot and Spanish.
So I do use my hands quite a lot. Anyway, sorry, let's go.
So Mickey, it seems, needs to leave us. Maybe next week we'll offer some more tips in learning languages along with speaking about a completely different topic, but let's finish off by going over. Oh, oh, oh! Let's finish off by going over some phrasal verbs. I just said going over. This means to review. So let's review, let's recap, let's teach some phrasal verbs. We'll do one each. I've said go over, but I'll teach another one. Don't worry. And the one I would like to teach is knuckle down. So nice. These are your knuckles. And to knuckle down is basically to study or to work very hard, usually in a short amount of time. If you have an exam coming up and it's tomorrow, you need to knuckle down. You need to study hard and during a short amount of time. I need to knuckle down. So
that's a good one.
Mickey, you seem very eager. Tell us yours.
I am eager. I'm very eager. My phrasal verb today is to brush up on. Okay. So to brush up on something. So for example, if you're talking about languages, I could say, this weekend, I really want to brush up on my Spanish. Okay. And this basically means to, it's a little bit different to review that Lewis said. It's more kind of perfect, refresh. Maybe you learned something that week, but it's not quite memorized yet, so you want to brush up on it to make sure that you remember it, and then you can use it the next time. So the phrasal verb is to brush up on. That's it. Will, come on, hit us. What have
Beautiful.
You got?
My phrasal verb is to jot down, and this is something that I don't know, using a pen, you jot down some notes. Okay, so when I was learning Spanish, I had my little book, and every time someone said a word that I thought was interesting, I would jot it down and then review it. I would go over it over and over and over again. I would brush up on it later in the future, and I'd jot it down again, but then I'd go over it again.
It sounds like you were knuckling down.
I knuckle down all the time. I'm always knuckling down. Yeah.
Okay, so I think on that note, let's wrap up. Phrasal verb. Wrap up is to finish. The opposite is to kick off, and that is to begin. So let's wrap up. Thank you so much for watching or listening to this podcast. If you've only been listening to it on Spotify, then make sure you check it out on YouTube as well. So then you can look at us as we speak much better. And thanks for your time. It's been a long podcast, but hopefully you found it useful. We've had a laugh. And yeah, do not forget to teachify your life.
Bye, guys. Thank you.
Bye-bye. See you later. Bye-bye. Ciao.